Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Mike Canivary. We recently received a curious Gulf Coast question wondering what the deal was with all the dog racing in Florida. So we looked into it and asked historian Jim Powers from the IMAG History and Science Center in Fort Myers to come in and give us a bit of a history lesson. Jim, welcome back to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you. Always love to be here.
And to ask a question or make a comment, you can find us on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media, or on Twitter. We're at WGCU. Just use the hashtag GCL. So before we get to the history, I want to start with some current news. There's a proposal moving through the Florida Constitution Revision Commission that would put an amendment that would end greyhound racing in Florida before voters this November. If it does wind up on the ballot and is approved by 60% of voters, greyhound racing would be phased out by June 30th of 2020. So one way or another, it seems like dog racing is winding down here in the Sunshine State. But first, let's get to the history. Jim, before we start with the history in Florida, how far back does dog racing go? Do you know into deep history?
Oh, sure. I mean, it appears in the tombs in Egypt.
That's just what we were just talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Most of the prominent names that we know, Tut, et cetera, had animals portrayed that had the exact same body profile as a greyhound.
Uh-huh.
And we'll talk about this a little later, I'm sure, but they were actually following a live animals.
Right.
And so it's very, very, very ancient. Did you know it was mentioned in the Bible?
I did not.
Yeah. Proverbs 30 talks about the greyhounds by name in the Bible.
Hmm. They were called greyhounds?
Yes.
Wow. I guess because they're hounds and they're gray.
As it was interpreted.
Right, right, right.
That word is actually from Middle English. But as it was interpreted from the Bible,
understood.
It's the same word.
Gotcha. So when did it show up here in Florida?
Well, it showed up here in Florida in the 20s. It's really interesting in terms of Florida racing. The first Florida track was built in 1922 in Humbugia.
Humbugia?
Humbugia, Florida.
Is that still a town?
No, it's now
okay.
it's now called Hialeah.
Oh, okay, okay.
But it was first called Humbugia. And then it was night racing, and that's what made it so successful because, they were able to put the big lights on, et cetera,
right.
And it gave something for the people to do in the evening time. And I put down a couple of notes to myself because there are a bunch of dates, but St. Pete opened in 25, Miami opened in 26, Sanford and Orlando, plus a second in Miami Beach in 27, and another Miami in 30, and then a Tampa in 32.
And this was considered at the time high-end entertainment, right? This was for fancy people for the most part.
Absolutely. And you must remember now, 1922, there's no betting.
Oh, okay.
We're talking about sporting, and the bets, quote-unquote, were illegal.
Oh, so there was no betting when it first started.
That's right.
Interesting. So it was more of just a spectator sport.
It was a great deal of corruption in there. Everything was rigged. I shouldn't say everything. There was a great deal of rigging and so forth for all these side bets.
Right.
And then in 32, the Florida legislature authorized paramutual betting simply because of the Great Depression and the income that could be derived from it.
Ah, so there was a tax stream for them.
Absolutely. And so that's what happened in 32.
Huh. So nowadays there's a, Sparky or whatever goes around the track and it's pulled by, mechanical means. How was it done in the early days?
Well, you have coursing. A coursing event was chasing a live animal.
Okay.
All right, let's put ourselves in England in the 1776 era.
Okay.
That's a familiar date, isn't
sure.
it?
Sure.
Okay. They would have a coursing event, and that is you'd release an animal, the greyhound would chase it. And then the pair of animals would race. and later on multiple animals would race, and they were all chasing a single live animal
right.
in a coursing event.
But that was not around a track.
That no,
right.
no, not at all.
Gotcha.
It's wherever the animal ran.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Within a reasonable distance and so forth. But then what you had turned into an actual meet in the late 1700s, and so they started having meets. And my guess is, of course, that there was, you know, side bets and mm-hmm. wagering and so forth and so on as it went along. But I think when you talk about the history, you really have to talk about history here. And history here starts in – well, the first known comment was in 1848 about racing. And it was coursing also, and that was in the Oregon Territory.
Okay.
And it got bigger and bigger and bigger. Try this. The largest proponents of coursing was the United States Cavalry.
Hmm.
Custer coursed his pack the night before they left for Little Bighorn.
Hmm.
So it was extremely popular, and you have to go into the 20th century now to answer the rest of your question, and that's when mechanical took over from
and that's what allowed it to become a track-based thing.
Exactly, and it was basically known as coursing by proxy.
Gotcha.
So in 1919, Patrick Smith – opened the first course in California. It was 3/16 of a mile long oval, and he had a four-wheeled mechanical Sparky, as we call it.
Right.
I grew up with Rusty, by the way.
Okay, I wasn't sure how ubiquitous Sparky was.
Yeah, I grew up in Jacksonville, and the Kennel Club there, it's here goes, there goes Rusty.
Right, right.
Yeah, so anyhow... It started at the turn of the century, and as I previously related, we went from 1922 here
right.
forward and then into Paramutual in 32. We opened here in 57.
Here in the Naples-Fort Myers, the one in
Naples,
Bonita.
Yep.
So when was peak greyhound racing in Florida? Have you any handle on that?
Oh, of course I do. the peak racing is in the late 80s.
Okay. That would have been when I went, because the only time I ever went was in high school. And
yeah.
It was always such a weird scene, at least for me as a high school student.
Hey, listen, I did the same thing too, except I had to sneak in.
Well, we kind of did too.
Yeah. the interesting thing, of course, is you have to remember that this is not a Sunday deal. In 57, we're still in the not on Sundays for anything.
Right.
Which, as I remember as a teenager, also shut down a lot of places where we could get in trouble. And so when we did it here and we had the Fort Myers Naples Greyhound track, the people in Bonita Springs were very, very upset because
okay.
that's the location
sure.
of the track.
Yeah, yeah.
But it turns out like this. Fort Myers is too close to the track at Sarasota.
Uh-huh.
Naples would be too close to the track in Miami.
Gotcha.
So they put it halfway on Old 41 before there was a new 41
right.
at the Bonita Beach Road.
Gotcha.
Intersection with 41.
So we only have about a minute left, but 38 states have banned it. It's illegal in 38 states. Only seven states have it, and most of those states only have one or two. What is it about Florida that we have 13?
Well, what is it about the fact that you don't like about paying state income taxes?
Oh.
on the other hand, Tom Lee, Senator Tom Lee, who's behind Prop 67.
The Constitutional Revision Commission thing.
Right. Does say this. He says that the state still regulates. It costs more to regulate now
huh.
than the proceeds to the state from dog racing. And so not even discussing the alleged cruelty aspects, not only speaking about gambling, but there's the issue of we're subsidizing with tax money.
Right. Well, that is all the time we have for today's show. I want to thank my guest, Jim Powers, is the historian at IMAG History and Science Center in downtown Fort Myers. Jim, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike.
We'll have you back.
And let me tell you this. Come visit me at IMAG. Come to see the history and science of Fort Myers, Naples.
There you go. Our show today was produced by Rachel Iacovone, Julie Glenn, and myself. Our director right now is Rachel Iacovone. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Mike Canary. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers, 90.1. WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM NPR for Southwest Florida. Thank you.